Blog Talk Radio.
And myself, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view from his perspective of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and also about our relationships and with strangers, meaning different nations, and how those relationships can comport in a positive fashion or in a negative fashion. In most cases, unfortunately for us, it's been negative because we don't like to comply. We don't like to know fundamentals. We don't like to follow rules. And the evidence doesn't lie. But those things can be changed only with compliance. But before we get started in our studies, Cartrell and I, you know, I like to give comments about contemporary subject matters. But first and foremost, I want to recommend everybody after the show turn on their television set and CNN and watch the incident in Tulsa 100 years ago, how those brothers and sisters were mistreated, dominated, abused, and killed. And truth be told, hadn't much changed in 100 years later, other than technology and the people in charge. But nevertheless, not much had changed. And one reason why I say this, they have made a Asian hate bill. Now, we have marched, protested, complained, voted. They've given us bills, but they've taken them back, or they watered them down. But I don't suspect that the Asian did too much marching, protesting, and crying, and voting in order to get their hate bill. No, I don't think so. I don't recall that. But we've been doing this for 402 years and counting, but it doesn't seem like it's gotten us very far. What more do we have to do? It's true. Some of them buy into the nightmare on Elm Street. They call Dreamland, the documentary. And certainly we're not in Dreamland. We're in a nightmare on Elm Street. And there's Freddy Krueger's everywhere. Universally is speaking to slice our behind every way but loose, because we are putting our hopes and dreams in the wrong thing, truth be told. And also, you remember I told you last week, I recommend us not getting together because of the fact we don't understand fundamentals. We don't understand how to love the Creator. We don't understand how to love one another. We don't know how to love our women. Our women don't know how to love our men. We don't know how to love our children. And our animals bark at us in the backyards. It's true. So that's why I recommend on this so-called Memorial Day, don't get together with people like us until we learn fundamentals. And they are essential for us to get together. Otherwise, we'll keep doing what we're doing. Because you remember that time I told you about a fish born into toxic water? It doesn't realize it's in toxic water because it's born. That's just the way it is. That's what we do. And that's what we said. That fish don't know it's in toxic water. It's just born in it. And some of us don't know we're born into a toxic existence. That's what we do. That's who we are. But until you get the fundamentals right and you realize that's not who you are and what you should be doing, I strongly advise don't get together with anybody that looks anything remotely like us, because the outcome will be quite deadly. There will be some fluttering of yellow tapes and some flashing blue and white lights. And the evidence don't lie. It's true. All right. Welcome to the show. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Well, it's going to be hot, so I get this mic fired up. There you go, Cartrell. Shalom, brother.
Oh, praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. And may he bless your family also, brother.
You had me talking. I thought I was muted myself.
Go ahead, my man. Go ahead, my brother.
But you know why they made that Asian hate bill, right?
Bring it down to me like I'm 4 years old.
Because North Korea got nuclear weapons. China got nuclear weapons.
Oh,
South Korea got nuclear weapons, and Japan got nuclear weapons.
So they got big brothers.
We, on the other hand, we ain't got bullets to buy from the Walmart store.
I think you got a good point.
We ain't got the nukes, bro.
Yeah, I think you made a good point.
Yeah.
I would argue.
But that might not be it, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we've been here for 400 years looking for some justice.
Yeah. Right.
And other people ask for it, and they get it tomorrow, right away.
Right. They just had to walk out the door with a sign and walk back in. Oh, that's it, brother.
But,
us, on the other hand,
we celebrate. What'd you say?
We, on the other hand, brother, we have to march, protest, vote, and we still don't. The end result is a whole lot of nothing.
And we join them in the 4th of July celebrations and Memorial Day celebrations and everything American, but they feel like we're not American. And we're not.
Yeah,
really.
And
the truth
thing
about who we are.
And the sad thing about that country is this. We participate in that economic system vibrantly. We'll go and spend our last dollar on these so-called holidays that were left penniless in inner days, so to speak. And then we don't have food to feed each other for the rest of the month. We'll go off and buy all this stuff and whatnot, buy all these fancy clothes and whatnot for a day that's not even symbolic or relevant to us in any shape, form, or fashion. And then we don't have much to feed each other at the end of the month. It shows the insanity of us all, Cartrell.
Yeah. So we out there eating them burgers and hot dogs and drinking the beer and going to the games. And we done forgot about the resolution. So the people in America forgot about the resolution. They going to lose weight. But every time you turn around, there's a holiday, people eating. So they stuffing themselves, buying everything up in the store.
Exactly.
But Memorial Day, they try to acknowledge their war-fallen heroes, their soldiers.
Right.
And I have to state that our people have fought in every war this country has ever been in.
Exactly.
And they say that they're fighting for the rights of the freedom for all Americans.
Right.
Which is like an oxymoron, because why should we fight your wars and we still have to fight when we come home and we don't have freedom here? But you're going to put us in soldier uniforms to protect you and your democracy, but we can't get none when we take those uniforms off.
Right, because, you know, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, the Marine Corps, and I had to fight them when I got home to get any assistance. I had to fight them there 40 years. In order to, I had to find out what was my problem, because they knew that I had a problem. I didn't know what the problem was, but they knew it was a problem. And after 40 years and whatnot, I had to fight them to even get in an assistant. They knew it. They said, hold on, this guy's a good Marine, but your finger broke. I said it wasn't broke when I came in there. But y'all broke it while I was in there. So if it's broken, y'all the cause of my thinking being broken. And they were right. It was broken. It still is, truth be told. But thanks to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, I have some semblance of peace of mind and some direction. If it wasn't for Yah, and it's certainly not for them, I wouldn't be in the position I am in today. So I don't care that much about their memorial days or whatnot. It means nothing to me. Because as a matter of fact, I'm setting up shop. I didn't buy anything special. I'm eating some leftover, and I'm setting up shop to make me some stuffed, I told Abby, I have some stuffed bell peppers tomorrow. I got my rice ready. I'm going to cook up my ground beef or turkey beef, and I'm going to mix that up together. I got me three.
Hold on, Johnson.
Uh-huh. Yo.
You bad as the brother, man.
Uh-huh.
And the sister tomorrow. Well, you making all this good food. You ain't invite nobody to the dinner table, bro.
Hey, you know,
I ain't had that in like my mother with Sergeant Mom.
Oh, stuff bell peppers. You
stuff
know what?
Stuff bell peppers up. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, I really hadn't. I can't recall making. You know when I found out how to make stuffed bell peppers? When I was living in Chicago, my wife at that time, she taught me how to make them. And I'd forgotten, but I hadn't forgotten watching her do it. And it came, and I saw some nice bell pepper. I said, I want me some stuffed bell pepper. And I'd never forgot how she did it. And so, you know, I knew she cooked the rice and cooked the ground beef, and she put the seasoning and she stuffed it in her bell peppers, and she sit it in that tomato soup, and she put the top on it and let it boil for about 30 minutes. I know how to do it, brother. I'm eating stuffed bell peppers tomorrow. I got the fixing already ready for it. I'm telling you, I ain't nothing special about today. But you know, Katria, you know, if you was here in the city of Memphis, that you and your wife would be welcome. As Abby, y'all be welcome to partake of these stuffed bell peppers. But since y'all ain't, y'all eyes may shine, y'all teeth may grit, but none of these bell peppers you gonna get. Okay, bro. Okay.
Now I see why Brother Ronnie Long and Sister Tamar did what they did.
They did me like they did me. That's cold, Kadri. That's cold. You my partner, man. Don't do me like that, bro. That's cold, Kadri.
Listen, man, you talk about fish being born in toxic water.
Right.
And you realize, right, that all the fish right now in the ocean are being born in toxic water.
Truth be told.
And they can't help it. Where else they going to go?
No. It's just like in our situation. Where else we going to go? I mean, universally speaking, wherever we go, the toxicity is there. And the only, but here's the X factor. And here's what we found out and what we're finding out in our studies. You have a solution. You have an X factor. But you have to comply with the X factor, which is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. He puts you under that umbrella, no matter the toxicity that you may be in. So, and as I said, it's universal. No matter where you go, the toxicity is there. But the Most High give you some clear sailing, some clear swimming, because we are in a toxic situation, universally speaking, country.
And just like the water, you can't depend on mankind or trust mankind to clean it up, can you?
No. They've been waiting on it.
The only way the toxic oceans are going to be cleaned up is by the hand of the Creator who made the oceans in the first place.
You know, the folks in Flint, Michigan are still waiting on clean water.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they tell you, okay? What they tell you. And the people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is still waiting on that check. You know what, Kadri, a lot of folks don't realize, the Gap Band. You know, I knew it. I've known this for years, that the reason why he wrote that song,
You dropped the bomb on me.
You turn me on to turn me on. You dropped a bomb on me. You know what? And they dropped a bomb on all of us, universally speaking. And he told me, and I found out why he wrote that song. I was listening to a documentary. And the reason why he said he wrote that song, he knew an elder lady, because, you know, they're from Oklahoma. And he said, she told him this story. And she said, they dropped a bomb on us. And she said, please, Don't say nothing about this to them, because they were scared. And they still are scared. And it's understandable. And she said, please don't write about this until I'm gone. And so when she passed on, he wrote that song, You Dropped a Bomb on Me. And so, you know, a lot of our brothers in the musical world know what's up. And they sing stuff that's relative to us. But you got a lot of us that know what's up and sing a whole lot of nonsense, a whole lot of noise that doesn't make any sense at all. Truth be told. Well,
hey, I'm glad you gave me the explanation, because that song, You Dropped a Bomb on Me, I thought it was like a message that I'm pregnant now, brother. And that, you just dropped a bomb on me. We were just having like a one-night stand or something.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was heartbreaker. When I first heard it, because there was a lot of girls dropping bombs on me, I was dropping bombs on them too. And so I thought it was a heartbreaker song. You turn me on, you turn me off, you dropped a bomb on me. So I thought it was a heartbreak song. As a matter of fact, I had a couple of bombs dropped on me around about them times. Okay? So
I think about it, man. Mm-hmm. They used a sharecropping plane to drop Molotov cocktail on the buildings and on the people
Cold-blooded.
That are living in that place. And they never wanted them to recover. They built a highway through the town.
Yeah.
300 people died.
Nobody That's what they said. But let me tell you something, bro. If they said 300 people died in Tulsa, Oklahoma,
I know it's more.
I guarantee you double that number, maybe triple that number. They've never been honest with us about anything. So why would I say they're going to be honest? Oh, yeah, just 300 died, just a little bit of three. Come on, man. Stop it.
But you know what's so powerful about that story?
What's that, brother?
There's a woman that's 107 years old.
I checked her out. I digged her, man. I digged her in Congress.
Saw her mother, Fletcher.
Yeah.
And she's so enraged. She was 7 years old.
Right.
And when it happened, and you know, seven-year-olds are very much aware.
Right.
And that impacted her so much that to this day, she's looking for justice for what happened. Until she get it, she ain't going to be satisfied in her life.
Yeah, I saw her.
She's sharp as a razor blade.
Oh, yeah, she
and
is.
107 years old. She wants justice. And she ain't got a day in her life. Amazing.
Right. Right. I saw our elder. I saw our elder on, in the Congress, sharp as a whip, beautiful elder. And she said she never forget it. She think about it every day. And I had number love for that woman ever since I seen her. Utmost respect. But some of us like to forget about it, and some of us like to get into the madness of the toxicity. So we like to drop bombs on one another now, Cartrell. But this sister's right on point. I ain't never forget it. I ain't gonna forget it. I want justice. I don't blame her. I feel it on that. I got love for mother, elder, for sure. Eric Cartrell, fellow students, let's get these bombs off of us, shall we? Turn to chapter, if Cartrell's done with his commentary, I am. And let's get some of these bombs off of us. Chapter 16 of 1 Kings. And if you're on and you've hit your your number one, after these studies, we always have time for you to ask questions and whatnot. So we're going to get to you. Don't think we're ignoring you. We see your hand up. We see you hit number one. We're going to get to you. So if we get the folks the fundamentals and whatnot, and we're going to get to the questions, okay? All right, may the Most High bless us by the study of his word, and most importantly, Cartrell and fellow students, the application and compliance of said words. Let's look at us. Let's look at us, and let's look how the Most High deals with us, and look how we deal with one another sometimes. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's true. The word of Yah came to Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha, King Baasha, because I lifted you up from the dust and made you a ruler over my people Israel. But you followed the way of Jeroboam and caused my people Israel to sin, vexing me, irritating with their sin. I'm going to sweep away Baasha in his house. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, King Jeroboam, Nebat. Anyone belonging to King Baasha who dies in town shall be devoured by dogs. And anyone belonging to him who dies in the open shall be devoured by the birds of the sky. The other events of King Baasha's reign and his actions and his exploits are recorded in the annals of the kings of Israel. King Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tarshish. His son Elah succeeded him as king. But the word of the Elohim had come through one of the prophets, Jehu, son of Hanan, against King Baasha, against his house, that it would fare like the house of King Jeroboam, which he himself had struck down, Yah, because of all the evil he did, which was displeasing to the Elohim, vexing him with his deeds. In the 26th year of King Asha of Yehuda, Elah, son of Baasha, became king over Israel at Tarshish for 2 years. his officer, Zimri, commander of half the Cherites, committed treason against him while he was at Tarsus, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was in charge of the palace at Tarsus. Zimri, in it, struck him down and killed him. He succeeded him as king in the 26th year of King Asa of Yehuda. No sooner had he become king and ascended the throne than he struck down all the house of King Baasha. He did not leave a single male of his, nor any kinsman or friend. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of King Baasha in accordance with the word that Yah had spoken through the prophet Yehu, because of the sinful acts which King Baasha and his son Eli committed, which they caused Israel to commit, vexing Yah, the Elohim of Israel, with their false gods, false religions. The other events of Eli's reign and all his actions were recorded in the annals of the kings of Israel. Then the 27th year of King Asa of Yehuda, Zimri reigned in Tarsus for 7 days. At the time, the troops were encamped at Gibbethon of the Philistines. When the troops who were camped there learned that Zimri had committed treason and struck down the king, that very day in the camp, all Israel acclaimed the army commander Omri, king of Israel. Omri and all Israel then withdrew from Gibbethon and laid siege to Tarsus. When Zimri, the ex-commander who made himself king, saw that the town was taken, he went down to the city of the royal palace and burned down the royal palace over himself. I mean, he had a scorched earth approach, and so he died because the sins which he committed and caused Israel to commit, doing what was displeasing to Yah and following the ways of King Jeroboam. The other events of Zimri's reign and the treason which he committed was recorded in the annals of the kings of Israel. Then the people of Israel split into two factions. The part of the people followed Timni, son of Gedna, to make him king. And the other part followed Omri. Those who followed Omri proved stronger than those who followed Timni, son of Gedna. Timni died and Omri became king. In the 31st year of King Asa of Yehuda, Omri became king over Israel for 12 years, consolidated of Israel. He reigned in Tarsus 6 years. Then he brought the hill of Samaria from Shemeth for 2 talents of silver. He built a town on the hill and named the town, which he named, built Samaria after Shemeth, the owner of the hill. Omri then did what was displeasing to Yah. He was worse than all who preceded him. Come on, man. How can you get lower than a worm? He was lower than a worm, so to speak. He followed all the ways of King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the sins which he committed and caused Israel to commit, vexing, irritating Yah, the Elohim of Israel. The other events of Omri's reign and his actions and the exploits he performed are recorded in the annals of the king of Israel. Omri slept with his father and was buried in Samaria. And his son Ahab succeeded him as king. Ahab, you're going to learn about him, son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 28th year of King Asa of Yehuda, when King Asa was king over Yehuda at that time. Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria for 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did what was displeasing to Yah, more than all who preceded him. Not content to follow the sins, he wasn't content to just follow the sins of King Jeroboam, son of Nebat. He took as a wife Jezebel, daughter of King Athabal, of the Phoenicians. She was a Phoenician woman. He went and served Baalah and worshiped him. He erected an altar to Baalah and a temple of Baalah, which he built in Samaria. King Ahab also made a sacred post. King Ahab did more to vex, irritate Yah, the Elohim of Israel, than all the kings of Israel who preceded him. He got lower than lower, lower than most. I mean, he just got down and dirty. During his reign, Hael, the Bethelite, fortified Jericho. He laid his foundation at the cost of Abram, his firstborn, and set his gates in place at the cost of Segub, his youngest, in accordance with the words that the Elohim has spoken through Joshua, son of Nun. Okay, Cartrell, what is your commentary?
We see that the kings of Israel, they keep getting worse and worse. Started with Jeroboam.
Yeah.
And he set up all these idols and worship and set up his own priesthood and all that. Mm-hmm. And all the subsequent kings after him get worse and worse and worse and worse. And Ahab, he took a foreign wife like King Solomon did, but he ain't from King Solomon's line or King David's line. He's from, I don't know what line he's from.
Mm-hmm.
But he did worse than everybody before him. But it, you know, continues to get worse.
Right.
So Ahab did things that really set the Most High off to where the Most High had to stop them in their tracks and bring back remembrance of him because Israel was lost.
I mean,
the kingdom was split, right, in three parts.
And that's why you're seeing perhaps at the end of the chapter, Cartrell, when he said this guy, what's his name? During his reign, Hillel, the Bethelite, fortified Jericho. And in accordance with the words that Yah has spoken through Joshua, son of Nun. We all know who Joshua was, son of Nun.
And he told him not to rebuild Jericho.
Right.
After Jericho was destroyed.
Right. And this guy rebuilding it. Trying to rebuild it. Right.
Well, he got to the foundation. I don't know if he got to the whole rebuilding.
I don't think so, because it cost him. Because it said the cost of Abram, his firstborn, and then at the cost of Segub, his youngest. It cost him. Like you said, Cartrell, I just think he only got to the foundation. He laid his foundation at the cost. Going to get shot.
But our ancient fathers, we're seeing, they act like we act now. They depend on other people's gods, other nations' gods, trying to do what other people are doing and not listening to the Most High. And those that listen to the Most High, we're going to see what kind of power he gives them. Because we're about to go into the prophet Elijah, I believe, with Ahab and Jezebel mentioning them.
Right.
They had prophets they set up, right?
Right.
That contested the prophets of Yah. As a matter of fact, Ahab and Jezebel was at war with the prophets of Yah and the priests of Yah.
Exactly.
So we're going to see that as it develops. And we know that the power of Yah is greater than any man-made religion, doctrine, idol that people set up. We're going to see the powers that the Most High gives his people who are loyal to him.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Cartier, if you're done, we'll move right along.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 17. Thank you, Cartier. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah, the Tishbite, Cartier just mentioned him, an inhabitant of Gilead, said to King Ahab, "As Yah lives, the Elohim of Israel, whom I serve, there will be no dew or rain except at my bidding." The word of Yah came to him.
Hold up.
Okay.
You know, I talk about the word, the power of your word, and how you should guard your word.
Right.
Right. You realize what he just said here?
Yes. By his word.
Yeah.
He said,
so
He said, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain except at my bidding, at my words.
So he has to say a prayer in order for it to rain on a nation.
Exactly.
Why is his word so powerful? What connection does he have with the Most High?
He's plugged into Yah. He's compliant and plugged into the program. Yeah.
And everything Yah tells him,
right,
he's obedient.
Right. You have to be compliant, humble, and plugged into Yah. Be in compliance. The word of Yah came to him, and he tells him, leave this place, turn eastward, and go into hiding by the Wadi Sarith, which is east of the Jordan. You would drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. They're going to bring you food. He proceeded to do. They fed him. The ravens fed him, brought him food. And so
you mean to tell me that birds are more obedient to Yah than people?
Animals are almost always more obedient to Yah than people.
So imagine ravens feeding you every day. Imagine that. Why would a bird feed you unless they got command from Yah?
Exactly. They're in compliance.
Yeah,
they know what side their bird seats are buttered on. Okay,
and you know they talk about the intelligence of the raven, right?
Exactly.
That's a very smart bird, the raven.
Yeah,
they do the research.
They say he'll take everything ain't nailed down.
If you kill a raven, you will have a horde of ravens coming to that area that you killed that raven to investigate.
And if they see you out there messing with it, they gonna go tap on your head like the bad seed. You remember that girl, the bad seed Cottrell? You remember that guy was playing with her? He said, "You killed that boy. You killed that boy. You went tap 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 on that little boy. He didn't know who we were playing with." And she went tap tap on his too. She set him on fire. Mm-hmm. Playing. With
I didn't see that movie. But I did see Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah. Well, if you get a chance, Cottrell, go to YouTube, whatever you're at your leisure, and when I study and whatnot, whenever you're just passing the time away, and go look up the title, Bad Seed, by that little girl. And she was a bad seed, just like some of us has become a bad seed.
Yeah, but I know you remember The Birds.
Oh, yeah, man. Everybody remember Birds. Come on. The woman in the telephone booth, and it was, them birds were nothing to play with, bro. The birds.
That was a scary movie for its time.
Man, what you say? We was hugging each other, couches with pillows and whatnot. Man, them birds.
She's in the telephone booth, the birds attacking, and the gasoline is on fire at the gas station.
Man.
She right next to me.
That was a bad picture factory.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get rid of them birds. Them birds is on the attack, son.
Exactly. So, better
be
careful.
They comply with Yah and his words. He told the birds, the ravens, to feed my prophet.
And which he did. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he proceeded to do as Yah had bidden him. He went to stay at the Wadi Sarith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat every morning and every evening. He drank from
twice a day.
After some time, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. And the word of Yah came to him, go at once to Shah-Riphah of Sidon and stay there. I have designated a widow there to feed you. So he went at once to Shah-Riphah. And when he came to the entrance of the town, a widow, not by coincidence, was there gathering wood. He called out to her, please bring me a little water in your pitcher and let me drink. And she went and fetched it. He called out to her, please bring along a piece of bread for me. As Yah your Elohim live, she replied, I have nothing. I ain't lying. I ain't got nothing. Nothing baked. Nothing but a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jar. I'm pouring in a mice. I'm just gathering a couple of sticks so that I can go home and prepare it for me and my son. We should eat it, and then we're going to die because we ain't got none left.
So
he
so
said,
how is this widow going to take care of him? She can't even take care of herself and her son.
See,
but
Yah,
the Most High does the impossible.
That's what I'm saying.
It.
And that's why Yah leads this message. He's telling us something here, Katriel. Say that again, Katriel. What did you just say? The last thing you just said?
The Most High does the impossible.
All right.
And puts us in impossible situations so that we trust in him.
Right.
It don't look too good.
No, it doesn't
right?
look too good. It doesn't look too good for him getting fed by her. Okay?
No.
But he trusts us in Yah, as we should. And he says to her, don't be afraid, said Elijah to her, the prophet. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake from what you have left, what you got left, and bring it out to me. Then make some for yourself and your son, because you don't know who you're messing with, so to speak. It's going to be enough for everybody. And thus said Yah, the Elohim of Israel, the jar of flour shall not give out, and the jar of oil shall not fail until the day that Yah sends rain upon the ground. She went. That says she had some understanding and compliance. She went and did as Elijah the prophet had spoken. She, he, and her household had food for a long time. The jar of flour did not give out, nor the jug of oil fail, just as Yah had spoken through Elijah the prophet. Boy, girl, y'all better hold on to Yah, because you don't.
So,
go ahead, Kadriel.
So, Yahshu. She didn't do the head waving, finger pointing thing, did she? Like, my man, you must be crazy. I just told you I could barely feed myself and my son. You telling me, but what I got left, feed you first?
Yeah, and she did it.
And she
because
did it.
She obviously had a fundamental understanding of Yah, and she knew that this man was a man of Yah. There's no way in the world he was going to be lying to her. And there's no way she wasn't going to be complying with what Yah said, and she complied. And because of her compliance, she received a benefit from it. And after a while, the son of the mistress of the house fell sick. His illness grew worse. There's always some trouble. Until he had no breath left in him, he died. She said to Elijah the prophet, what harm have I done you, O man of Yah, that you should come here to recall my sin and cause the death of my son? I did something wrong, and because of it, it has caused the death of my son. And Elijah the prophet said, give me the boy. And he said to her, take him and take him from my room. He carried him up to the upper chamber where he was staying and laid him down on his own bed. He cried out to Yah and said, oh, Yah, my Elohim, will you bring calamity upon this widow whose guest I am and let her son die? Then he stretched out over the child three times, and he cried out to Yah, saying, oh, Yah, my Elohim, let this child's life return to his body. And the Elohim heard Elijah's plea, and the child's life returned to his body, and he revived. And Elijah the prophet picked up the child and brought him down from the upper room into the main room, and gave him to his mother. See, said Elijah the prophet, your son is alive. And the woman answered Elijah the prophet, now I know for certainty that you are a man of Yah, and the word of the Elohim is truly in your mouth. Ain't no but truth coming out your mouth. Ain't no jive. Ain't no but truth coming out your mouth. You know, they said someone else have done this task. But, you know, plagiarism ain't nothing new to them. They'll spill anything. They'll steal the color of white, okay? Plagiarism ain't nothing new to them, okay? All right, Katriel. We'll see you, my brother.
So, again, we see how powerful Elijah's word is, because the last thing she said, she could see that the word of Yah is in your mouth is truth. So when you speak the truth, you speak with power. Right?
Exactly.
Not only that, your book reads different from mine.
Okay,
my
read yours.
the 22nd chapter, 21st verse. And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto Yah, and said, O Yah, my Elohim, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And Yah heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. That sounds quite different from yours, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because who takes the soul when you die?
The Most High.
And it shows he can give it right back, can he?
If he want to. That's his prerogative. So like Bobby Brown said, it's his prerogative. He can do what he want to do.
And Elijah, being a humble man, he like, you sent me to a widow. She just lost her husband. Or whenever she lost her husband, now you're going to take her child? It's merciful.
Yes.
God hears prayer. And we don't know. This little boy was dead. No breath was in him. No life. Matter of fact, let me read what it says. It says, and she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried her up into the loft. There was no breath left in him. So that means he was dead. He fell sick and was sore. There was no breath left in him. And she carried him downstairs. He took him back upstairs. And his soul, Yah gave back to him. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is, God, Jill. Amazing.
Like you said, they plagiarized it in the New Testament. But, that whole book is plagiarized. Whatever's in it. Because they have many books, but
you said
it ain't quite the same as the Old Testament. Not quite.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, brother.
If you read the hardcore facts, our kings were brutal. They was killing each other, killing whole families, man. How you
man.
Kill a brother and his whole family, huh?
Yeah.
Like, man. And then after you did it, it's going to happen to you. So when does the cycle of violence stop?
Well,
here
you
it
know,
is. We get a break when Yah sends a prophet in the midst of all the madness of the king. Elijah, he had to come in the middle of the madness.
Well, you reap what you sow. What you put down, you get back, aren't you? Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, Katria, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. And we're looking forward to... Go ahead, Katria.
Yeah, I'm done. Basically.
Okay. We're looking for another study in the book of Psalms. And we're all ears, my brother.
Okay. We're in the 9th chapter of the book of Psalms, I believe.
Okay. Let me check that out. You know, Abby, I would send a report. You know that. I think, hold on, let me look at this. Let me put my bifocals on. I think we in 10, country. Abby, give me an update, please. A status check. What can I say? You might be Avia. Would you please give us status check? Avia, I can't be asking the phone on the show. You got to text a message. Text us a message. I can't be asking the phone on the show. What do you think? This is a private conversation? Okay. Yeah, 9. Thank you, Avia. We're 9, Katriel. 9.
Yeah. We're in the 9th chapter.
My apologies, Katriel, because I'm always ahead of us. And I made my notation ahead of us, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
No problem at all.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
The words of our King, Yah's anointed, Yah's servant, King David. Give thanks and praise for his wisdom, his ability to even think about us by leaving profound thoughts behind in his prayers and in his prophecies, because he's prophetic too. So we give thanks to Yah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will praise you, O Yah, with my whole heart. We always know how King David starts off. He starts off with a prayer early in the morning, and he starts off wholeheartedly, right? He don't look for his counselors, his wise men, his wife, his mother. Nah. First thing he does is praise Yah with his whole heart. He says, I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So that's why we have his words on record in the book of Psalms, because he's telling of Yah's marvelous works. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. So he know that we know that King David always put the Most High before him to fight his battles. And what happens when Yah fights your battles? Your enemies fall and perish before you. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne in judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. We read about the victories against the nations that King David was fighting. Matter of fact, they made peace with him. And King Solomon reigned in peace based on the work that King David had done in living righteously and doing what the Most High told him to do. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. So the fight is not over. The fight goes on. And you have destroyed cities, which they've done. Even their memory has perished, but Yah shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. That hasn't happened yet, so he's talking futuristic, because this has not happened as of yet. Yah also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Raise your hand if you're oppressed. And if you're oppressed, you should find Yah's as a refuge in times of trouble. Are we living in times of trouble, Lot?
Amen, brother. We certainly are.
Is Yah your refuge?
He certainly is.
And those who know your name will put their trust in you, just like me, King David. For you, Yah, have not forsaken those who seek you. Raise your hand if you're seeking Yah. Sing praises to Yah, who dwells in Zion. That's why we pray to the east, right? Because we west of Zion. And that's where the temple was built. That King Solomon said we should pray towards. Because Yah dwells in Zion. Or his eye is there all the time. Declare his deeds among the people. We got the Blog Talk, Real Talk for Real People show. What's we trying to do? Declare Yah's work to everybody. Not just our people, Yisrael. But all the world should know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because he is the creator. When he avenges blood. Oh. So all you murderers think you got away with murder. Yah is the avenger of blood. And you know what the avenger of blood does. If you don't get to the city of refuge, that avenger is taking you out. And guess what? You have destroyed the cities of refuge. So there is no place to run when Yah avenges his blood. So he remembers them. So Cain going to get it, right? He killed Abel. His soul is in trouble when Yah avenges Abel's blood. Abel's blood hasn't been avenged yet. You know that, right?
Mm-mm.
He does not forget the cry of the humble. And we know that Abel's blood cried from the ground. And Yah didn't really act immediately, but there is this judgment that is to come. Have mercy on me, O Yah. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. We should all say that. If you are Israelite in America, or they calling us black now, they don't even give us the dignity to call us African-Americans anymore. They just say black people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, black people who vote, black voters. It's just black. So it's total disrespect. Anytime that word comes out of their mouth, it's total ignorance when that word black comes out of our learned men, learned women, who got PhDs and letters all behind their name and still calling our people black. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You who lift me up from the gates of death. And we've seen that Yah could restore that soul. He restored the soul of that little boy, didn't he? When Elijah prayed for him, took him from the gates of death. Yah could do that. That I may tell of your praise, not just for yourself, but when Yah brings you from the gates of death, you got to tell the praise that Yah brought me from the gates of death. You got to tell the people, acknowledge that it was the Most High. In the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. Salvation is only coming from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not coming from any other source. It says the nations have sunk down into the pitch which they had made, in the net which they had hid. Their own foot is caught. Yes, we see that every day. So you build weapons of mass destruction. You got more guns than people. And every day there's a mass shooting. They had a shooting today, y'all.
The one in Miami. One in, right.
Crazy, man. People trying to come out from the cabin fever, and you got people waiting in the cut to cut them down with bullets.
Crazy.
Innocent people. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. Yeah, the NRA. They love guns. American people love guns. Second Amendment. We gotta have our guns. And you snared in it. You don't know what to do. Innocent people are getting shot in malls and schools and just anywhere, concerts and wherever. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. Violence breeds violence. Blood calls for blood. America, everybody in America think that America is going to last forever, but America was built on blood that it hasn't answered for yet. And Yah said he's the avenger of blood. He said the wicked shall be turned into hell. And I hope you're not wicked because you don't want to go to hell. I don't know what church is telling you, but Yah is saying the wicked is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And all the nations that forget Elohim. How many nations on the planet have forgotten the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
About all of them, brother.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You think? And all of them got this Bible, don't they?
Yeah, it don't mean no good. They don't use it. They don't study it.
You know why they forget God? Because they tear away the Old Testament and strictly study the New.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them forget about the Creator. They've forgotten God.
Right.
You know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is? No, who's that? You don't know? Okay. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. And trust me, we poor and needy. Be under the illusion that we free and we in America, we can do what we want. But trust me, we are poor and we are very needy. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Because we are a rich nation. Matter of fact, we're the richest nation on earth. And we begging for crumbs. So we poor and needy right now, but the Most High says he's not going to forget us forever. So he implores the Most High, arise, O Yah, do not let man prevail. That's our cry, because they think they're gods. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Yah, of you, because they're only fearing each other. You know, they all got nuclear bombs. They're scared they're going to blow each other up, but they don't know the fear of you. Because you could shut all that down and just burn the whole earth with the breath of your nostrils beyond their nuclear weapons. That the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah.
Mm-hmm.
God is not a man. And he's going to prove that he's not a man when he shuts these nations down and judge them and puts his fear in them and doesn't allow them to prevail in their plans. And Yah's watching them, each and every one of them. So we give thanks to Yah that he is the judge and that his word and his truth will prevail.
Amen. And they're nothing but men. They ain't nothing special like they're trying to perceive themselves to be. All right, Cartrell and fellow suitors. As Cartrell and I recommended after this study sessions that you turn your stations to CNN and check out the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre. What is that? If you don't study it, you're doomed to repeat it. Study it, okay?
You got to know who these people are, who we're dealing with.
Exactly. And they ain't changed. Only thing ain't changed is the year in technology. But these people hadn't changed, and you better believe it. Otherwise, you're simply lying to yourselves and one another. It's true. Well, Cartrell, fellow students, it's been a blessing to bring Yah's word to you, and I hope Yah's word becomes a blessing to you, that you comply with it and you apply it to your lives. That's the only way you're going to see some results. Cartrell and I, we don't know where you're going.
Yah, so?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody raising their hand?
Yeah, but
earlier?
They were in suspect, Cartrell. Anytime someone comes on to the show and they raise their hand, it always brings to mind about a proverb A fool answered the matter for he feared. So they were in suspect. They came on for a few minutes and they came back recently for a few seconds. These people have a tendency to sprout whatever they got going on. They ain't trying to hear nothing. They want to preach something. So they were in suspect. But hold on, Abiyah had something to say, Cartrell. Abiyah, made the most session. Your mic is out. Shalom.
Shalom, brothers. May the Most High bless you both.
Shalom, Abiyah.
Shalom.
Well, I'm glad I'm not one of those suspects. And I'm not the FBI, so y'all brothers know to let me on. Yeah, as far as tonight, I just wanted to say, like, another saying my grandmother and mother used to say, the older you get, the dumber you get. Sound like, you know, what we was going through, except for this last one, Elijah. Now, out of everything that's going on, the more that y'all told them what to say, they even do things they way. It's the same thing like you trying to, well, we are y'all children, but for even the parents, these children today, these generations are getting worse than from the time we was coming up. Now they're not getting better. They just getting worse. So they're going to learn the hard way. Just like y'all did. He instructs us, so you better follow while you got a chance. And then they wouldn't have to go through so much punishment. But that's that hard head, persistent, still want to do things their way. And the woman, it reminded me of, I don't know what book it was or chapter, but it was the old lady that when they went into the temple, she had a couple of pennies, I believe it was, and that's all she had. And she gave up everything. She just gave it freely. And she was blessed, just like this woman right here. Mm-hmm. She listened and made the bread patty for Elijah, and she was blessed in the long run. So it just goes to show, if you live by y'all's laws and listen, then we would be all right. So I just want to say hallelujah, and I'm so glad again
hallelujah.
That you're on here. Yes. So
okay.
That's all I really had to say. And, you know, shalom. And may y'all bless y'all both.
Thank you very much.
Don't worry about me. I don't do no. I went to the supermarket today, but it sure wasn't for no getting no hamburgers, no frankfurters, and none of that stuff. I went because I had to get me some detergent. Come on, pull me into that memorial. I'm glad you said too about CNN. I turned it there anyway, but plus I was ready to sit at my window to watch the memorial movie out my window with all these fools out here.
They won't be able to feed your family by the end of the month.
They sure won't. And now they out here again. They don't drop their guard. The mask is off. The barbecuing like they're crazy, rolling in the grass. After a while, they're shooting in the fighting to start. So that's how I move away from there.
It's on when that alcohol takes over. I mean, you know, people coming to the club. They act like they got sense. Wait about two or three drinks. They lost their mind, okay?
Yeah. Well, like Cartel, Brother Cartel, you should know. I know you done heard about Patrol the Park a lot. All the shooting of dead bodies they done found over here. So it's a certain time you come through this way, when you go through this part. And everybody that lives in this area, we know. When we see them coming, we stay in. We don't join it. So, dear brother, y'all be safe, and may y'all bless you and still love.
Thank you, Abiyah. May the Most High bless you.
Most High bless you as well.
Well, as I said, fellow students, Cartrell and I don't know where you're going, but we do know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. Turn to CNN, as Abiyah pointed out to you, and as Cartrell pointed out to you, and let's do some studying, shall we? May the Most High bless you. May your steps be directed and ordered by him. Stop leaning to your own understanding, because it is not working for you. It is not cute. It is working on you. Get your fundamentals together. And how to facilitate that is get you a new mind and a new spirit. It's King David asked for. He knows that would help facilitate him doing what Yah and being in compliance. And we all need the very same thing. Pray for a new heart and a new spirit like King David, and it will help you facilitate you getting you in the right direction, okay? We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad ones, I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now. And I'm singing the song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Can't you see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love, holding nothing. You came out in front when I was hiding. Come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding. Time. I love you. for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song to you. We were alone and I was singing this song to you. We were alone and I was singing this song. Singing this song to you.